This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
Breaking news is President Trump has just confirmed to reporters outside the White House that he's nominating Bob Barr, who served as Attorney General under former President George H.W. Bush, to be Attorney General following the departure of Jeff Sessions. The President also confirming he'll nominate Heather Nauert to be United Nations Ambassador to succeed the retiring Nikki Haley. And the President also told reporters,
I have another one for tomorrow that I'm going to be announcing at the Army-Navy game to do with the Joint Chiefs of Staff and succession.
Former FBI Chief James Comey is behind closed doors at this hour with members of two House committees answering questions about the early days of the Russia investigation and how he handled the Hillary Clinton email investigation. And this is USA Radio News.
What's on your bucket list? Running a marathon, hiking to the top of a mountain, or maybe surfing? What if I told you you can accomplish all of it at any age? This is Wayne Allen Root, and I'd like to introduce you to somebody that's changed my life, made me feel years younger, maybe saved my life, my Cenogenics physician, Dr. Bob Letta.
Thanks for the introduction, Wayne. At Cenogenics, we help people look and feel many years younger. We've been in business since 1997. We have locations across the United States, and we've treated over 35,000 patients worldwide. Our age management medicine is proven to work. On the Cenogenics program, you will have your own doctor, exercise counselor, and nutritionist all working together to fine-tune plans especially for you.
Thank you, Dr. Letta. I'm 57 and I feel like I'm 30 again. I feel the best of my life. I have the most energy of my life. Are you ready to start feeling the best of your life? Defy your age with Cenogenics. Call now for your free consultation at 888-YOUNGER. That's toll-free 888-YOUNGER. Or go to Cenogenics.com.
The U.S. Labor Department saying the economy added 155,000 jobs last month, below the 190,000 most economists had predicted. But the jobless rate remained near historic lows at 3.7%.
The U.S. economy has created more than 2 million new jobs in 2018 in healthcare, construction, manufacturing, and in hospitality. Eleni Kara-George of the Bureau of Labor Statistics has the numbers.
Total non-farm payroll employment increased by 155,000 in November. Job gains occurred in healthcare, in manufacturing, and in transportation and warehousing.
The unemployment rate is now at a 49-year low.
That's USA Radio's John Clemens. Just hours after being announced as the host of the 2019 Oscar ceremonies, Kevin Hart has announced he'll no longer host the event after criticism over previous jokes he'd made about gay people, for which he now apologizes and says he doesn't want to be a distraction. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The nation's 41st president is in his final resting place after several days of tributes and services. Here's a look back at yesterday's activities by USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
The sound of the train in Texas transporting the casket of former President George H.W. Bush to his final resting place at his presidential library at Texas A&M University. Bush, 41, buried next to his wife of 73 years, Barbara, the Union Pacific engine 4141 running from Houston to College Station. The casket inside a special car with a window, allowing people along the route to see it. A military band playing Hail to the Chief at the train station. Earlier at the church service, former Secretary of State James Baker speaking.
He was not considered a skilled speaker, but his deeds were quite eloquent.
And again, that report filed by our own USA Radio's Robin Walensky. And today marks the 77th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. It was December 7th, 1941, that the Pearl Harbor naval base was devastated by the surprise attack by Japanese warplanes. And when it was over, over 2,300 Americans were dead, 1,100 more wounded, 5 battleships were sunk or severely damaged, and it brought the U.S. into World War II. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
And here's Mike's best offer ever. My Pillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. You know, there's something about ending a year and looking at a new year, a time where we reflect and say, gosh, you know, last year wasn't such a bad year after all. As far as personal growth and development, you know, I really want to spend more time in the Bible. And I tell you, you're going to be greatly encouraged with our next guest. Professor Tom Meyer is going to be joining us. He has an amazing 20 complete books of the Bible memorized. You heard me right. 20 complete books of the Bible he has memorized. And he is giving us this year, I'll tell you, this is such a real present. I want you to know this. This is the King James New Testament version, the Memorization Study Bible. Tom, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Okay, so why this memorization Bible?
Well, that's a million-dollar question, you know. Mm-hmm. We live in a copy-paste Facebook tweet, a file-and-forget world, for better or worse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we really are what we think, kind of like, you know, you are what you eat.
Right, exactly.
And having Bible verses put in your heart, it really does transform your thought, your practice, your daily life. It just revolves and it cleans everything to put it kind of in alignment with what God's Word says. But if it's on our shelves, then it's not, you know, part of our body. And if it's on our phones, the same kind of thing. But if it's in our minds, you know, no one can ever take it from us. And it will slowly but surely, you know, change our thinking and make it more truthful, more biblical.
Exactly. In our minds and hearts, of course, the psalmist wrote in one of my favorite psalms. I know some people are intimidated by Psalm 119. That's so long, but so powerful. And one of the points of all this is that, you know, he says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And storing that up speaks to memorization, does it not?
You know, it really does. I had the privilege of living in Jerusalem for 4 years and earning 2 master's degrees from Mount Zion. And in that part of the world, they really do still memorize a lot. And I was able to kind of pick the brains of a lot of Jewish rabbis and Eastern Christians and just figure out, how did they do this in antiquity? How did they really memorize all that they did?
Right.
And I just took those and I kind of just boiled them down. And then we developed this resource and kind of leading the way now and kind of making Bible memorization great again.
Okay, so here you are. You're studying for 2 master's degrees, showing off in Jerusalem, of all places. But what a grand opportunity for you to do it in Israel. And so along the way, you're touched by, you know, the rabbis and by people of faith there and their memorization skills. So what was revealed to you about how to memorize?
Well, that's just it. You know, since we live in a real wireless kind of world, we're not really forced to memorize, are we?
No,
not too long ago, I went to speak, build the whole book of Revelation from memory, okay? The whole book.
Wow.
And almost always I take my wife with me, but this time, for whatever reason, she couldn't come, and I had to call her, and I didn't have my phone, so when I called her, I didn't know her phone number. Like, I can tell you the whole book, 12,000 words from memory, but I don't know my wife's phone number.
You can't
that's
even...
just the world. That's yeah. just the world we live in, you know? So they really brought to light some of these ancient tips and techniques that could basically be boiled down into three different pillars or three different techniques that can help believers memorize God's word. And that's what we do. We go from church to church to church. Presenting this in Sunday school and in the main services. And then I teach at the collegiate level at Shasta Bible College in Redding, California. I teach the only accredited class in America on Bible memorization. And then now we have this resource that's out, the Memorization Study Bible.
Yeah, this is the only study Bible that I'm aware of in the marketplace that specifically is designed to help Christians memorize Scripture. Is that still the case?
It is, you know, believe it or not, we have all these excellent translations out there and excellent versions and, you know, archaeology study Bible and, you know, spirit-filled life study Bible or whatever, but there really isn't one until now, you know, that is designed for one of the main purposes Scripture was given to us, to, like you referenced, to hide it or to treasure it up in our heart.
Exactly. So, three pillars. Let's break it down for our audience here.
Okay. And it sounds simple, but it isn't. And the first one is memorization by reading. By reading. Now, our nine out of, you know, every Bible in the world, 99 out of 100 of them now, they're printed in such a way that it is not easy on the eye when you look at it in regards to kind of making it conducive or helpful to Bible memorization. So one of the tips and the techniques I learned from the people in Israel is to break down the verse so it has eight words or less on each line. And this is what the ancients called an eye glance. We have a short-term and like a long-term memory.
Right.
And to read it or to write it and look at it when the verse is in the poetical form, when the ands and the buts and the ifs and the conjunctions are kind of all lined, it gives it shape. And
yes.
when your mind takes a picture, it's more probable that it's going to make an imprint more into your mind or heart. So number one, reading it in the way that I have broken it down for you. Mm-hmm. And then number two is memorization by hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the most literal sense, like we really don't hear a lot of literally the word of God throughout the week. Like we hear maybe some good Christmas music and about the Lord and, you know, Christian music. But we don't hear, you know, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth. You know, we don't. But to hear that, you know, while you're doing your daily routines or whatever, coupled with the reading, is another fantastic way. And then third and finally is memorization by writing it out. And if we can write it out, like I formatted it in the memorization study Bible, then our mind and our eye and our hand and our ear and your mouth, if you can say, are all working together in unison. So whether you read it or write it or hear it or a combination of those, you know, the way to keep it once you get it, because you don't, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it, is to repeat it or to review it.
And how is this like a... You know, like creating a habit, is this like a 21-day exercise, or is this something that's done in a shorter period of time because of this unique process?
Well, that's exactly it. You know, like, how long is this going to take? What am I, you know, all these kind of things. And that's why we're, you know, it's like a New Year's resolution, a spiritual New Year's resolution, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's clean our minds. Let's transform our minds to be more biblical and just do a verse a week. Just add 2 or 3 minutes a day, if you can, onto your Bible reading or whatever your routine is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you just memorize a verse a week, you know, and you do that throughout the whole year, you look back, and by the end of next year, like, you'll have the whole book of Titus memorized, or you'll have the whole book of Jonah memorized, and, you know, just inch by inch, and it'll be a cinch. They can do it. You really can do this, and the benefits, the dividend. What if I offered you $1,000 cash for every single verse that you could memorize next year? You think we would get on the ball?
Yeah.
You know, but how much more, right?
Right.
So these verses, heaven and earth can pass away, but his word won't.
Exactly. When you realize how much value is in the Word of God, you know, the writers of Scripture said you'd be willing to give up all gold and silver in your possession, right? So there's something incredibly valuable about the Word of God. But in our hurry-up world, in our instant gratification type world, well, we miss out on the things that are most valuable. I was most touched, I got to tell you, when Billy Graham passed, it was recounted that a statement that he made, because he was said, well, you know, you had so much time with, you know, all these great men and these politicians and everything. And, you know, and he said, well, to be honest with you, The one regret I have is that I didn't spend more time in the Word of God. This is from Billy Graham. So that really stopped me and was quite meaningful. We've got Professor Tom Meyer with us. We're talking about his memorization study Bible, the techniques, and we've got more right after this. Stay with us.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, MD of Nutramedical.com, announcing the breakthrough Red Deer Velvet DR. It delivers the protected building blocks of all organs and tissues, allowing your own stem cells as architects and engineers to regenerate you. Not since fetal life, when aging does not occur, has such an amazing Nutramed been available to help heal you and regenerate you. Anti-aging requires that you correct mineral, activated nutraceutical, and jump the gene defects and poor diet you have to deliver the cellular tools for regeneration. You must remove old damaged cells and replace them with your young healthy cells to wind the biological clock to a younger you. Order your Red Deer Velvet DR now at NutriMedical.com 24/7 or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I, Medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com. Or call our order line, 888-212-8871.
You may need this herbal tea for relief right away, so write this down. DRMILLERSClinic.com. If you take meds, then suffer stomach distress, constipation, indigestion, acid reflux, and bloating, and nothing else helps, get Dr. Miller's Holy Tea or Super Holy Tea, a cleansing, detoxifying herbal tea now available at great rates direct from Dr. Miller's office. Call or click 888-660-7039 or DRMILLERSClinic.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
For P150, P150GA, P150NY, P150OK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $150, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-656-4686. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. Plus, you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-656-4686. That's 1-800-656-4686. 1-800-656-4686.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hey, millennials, know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez, live.
On the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me.
Back with the America's Promise, 19 minutes after the top of the hour, just the way you like it, fresh and independent, every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Our conversation with Professor Thomas Meyer continues. His new book, Memorization Study Bible, no other Bible on the planet like the Memorization Study Bible, and he was explaining to us the techniques that, he's been able to memorize 20 books of the Bible. And as you were saying, Tom, before the break, you would take a, let's say a sentence, a verse that we're going to memorize. And there's three things that you do. You break it down in, 8 words. You're going to, first of all, read it, and you're going to hear it and then write it out. And before you know it, you're starting to link some verses together, and you've got verses, you've got chapters, you've got entire books that you've memorized probably a lot faster than you realize. When you started exercising this for yourself, Tom, what kind of light bulbs went off for you? You go, wow, this is really working.
Well, a couple of things. You're never too old to start. And
yes,
obviously, we get them while they're young, and the easier, it is to memorize, the younger you are. Mm-hmm. I didn't start memorizing until I was about 25 or 30 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm 42 right now, and it just took someone to encourage me to try it while I drove from my home and moved out to where I went to undergrad in California. Mm-hmm. And on that car ride, I memorized a part of the Sermon on the Mount about not worrying about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And, now when I look at a bird, I consider the bird of the air and how it neither sows nor reaps nor gathers into barns, but my heavenly Father feeds that bird. And am I not of more value than that bird? You know,
yes.
And so it really begins to kind of, inform you biblically who you didn't go from ooh to the zoo to you by a series of time and chance over billions of years.
Right.
You're made in the image and likeness of the living God, and you have boldness and access and confidence to approach him in prayer. And I mean, these kind of things do something for your psyche.
Well, Well, as you say, we're renewing our mind, our thought life, coming into compliance with God, as Psalm 119 says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. All these things that we want to live by, are right there, but somehow we fall victim of our own negativity to say, well, that's too much, that's impossible. Until we come up against somebody like you, then it's not only possible, but let me show you how, right?
Well, exactly. And, as well as I do, is we're interested in what we want to be interested in.
Yes.
Okay? It's so true. Mm-hmm. And if the people out there in radio land would just, commit to it and be like, okay, I'm going to try it, or my kid's going to try it, or whatever, pick up the memorization study Bible, try a verse a week using the techniques I'm doing, and just wait and see the transformation in behavior and in thought and in practice. Instead of saying what you want to say, hopefully you could think now, okay, I know that a soft answer will turn away wrath.
Right.
Because I know that grievous words will stir up anger. And then you act. So it really does. It really does. And the Bible says that parents have no greater joy than that their children walk in truth. And it's true, isn't it?
Yes,
without a doubt. How much more God in heaven has no greater joy than when he looks down to see his children, right, walking in the truth of the light of his word? And there's no better way to know God's word, right, than if you have it hidden in your heart.
Yeah, without a doubt. Let's go back, and I want to review this, the concept of, reading and how you break it down in 8 words, because you say that it's not necessarily easy on the eye, but yet in this process, you make it easier.
Right, exactly. And that's why this is the only study Bible out there that is designed to help you memorize. And so you take your average verse, and it kind of is intimidating to, oh, I can't memorize all 35 of those words, but you can if you just take it bit by bit and keep it to what the ancients would call an eyes glance on each line, right? With 8 words or less on each line. And then you have the ands and the buts and the ifs all lined up nice and neat, right? And if you look at that and impress that upon your mind and your heart, or if you write it or if you read it or a combination of those, it is the best way to memorize scripture, for sure.
Mm. So we're making it easy on the eye. And then we're hearing the word of God, whether we may have you may already have a ready-made audio system where you're hearing the word of God. Now with the technology, it's right there at your fingertips. Or, why not even record? Because of the technology, you could record it in your own words, what it is that you're memorizing. And so you're doing this throughout the week. And like anything, it's not like you're doing it once or twice. I mean, you're really committed to this. And so you're doing this several times a day. And then with an occasional, I would think, period of time where you're really meditating on the word, writing it out, right?
Right, and especially with younger children who maybe can't read or can't read great yet, like mine. Like every night we go to bed, I tell them scripture from memory, then I tell them Genesis 1 through 6 from memory. And so every night they're hearing the story of creation and the fall and the beginning of the flood. And you know, that just permeates their minds and their little hearts. And so they can fill in the gap. Like this morning, I was sitting at the table before you called.
Okay? Uh-huh.
And my little one was right here. And she just started laughing. She's like, Daddy, do you believe that people really believe that human beings came from soup? Or monkeys. Isn't that funny that people believe that?
Right, right.
Because she hears Genesis every night that she's made in the image and likeness of God and that she's special and not another brick in the wall.
Exactly.
So it does. It's fantastic to hear it, especially for the little ones that can't read yet.
Well, Tom, this application, the system that you have been sharing with us in the memorization study Bible, I got to imagine this could be applicable in other disciplines, correct?
It is. That's a good point, you know. Like, our minds are like muscles. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, we want to work out this muscle or work out that muscle. Well, let's work out the muscle of our minds. And the more you do it, the quote-unquote easier it's going to get. It's not fast and easy, like some books say, to memorize. Right. It's hard. It takes me, on average, an hour a day, every day for a month, just to memorize one chapter. So it's hard work, but as we touched on briefly, the dividends are just innumerable, but you can do it. You can do it.
And what are some of the challenges that you have found in your teaching as you've taught people, you know, around the country and other parts of the world how to employ this technique? What gets in the way? What challenges do they face that discourage them?
Well, that's a lot of it is just, you know, like self-defeatism. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even try, you know, but, you know, that you can, if you just try a little bit at a time, a verse a week, and you know, and you just continue and stick with it,
right.
You're going to look, it's just like working out. You don't want to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to the gym.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you might be glad. Or how about 8 weeks later when you hop on the scale and you see you lost 10 pounds? Now you're glad you did what you did.
Exactly.
How much more, right? When you memorize, just stick with it, a verse mm-hmm. a week, right? Let me be on your side with a memorization study Bible helping you do it, and you're going to look back 8, 10, 20, and like, oh man, look at that.
Right.
Look what I was able to do.
Yeah.
You know, I have this whole chapter memorized now of God's Word.
There you go. And I like what Henry Ford said. He said, if you say you can't, you're right.
It's true. As a man thinks in his heart, so
exactly.
It is about Solomon.
Right.
Trump Henry Ford with Solomon.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, just to bring it up, because, things that we remember, like, as we say, this is applicable not only for the Word of God, but other disciplines as well. And being a businessman, a marketing guy, you know, things like that stick out. And yes, it does. That does trigger, just like you just said, you know, you remember something on a secular side. And what does it do if you're familiar with the Word of God? It takes you right to the Word of God. You said, well, I think Solomon said that too, right? You know, so there you go. So so your prescription for somebody who says, look, it's a new year. I've been saying I want to memorize scripture. I'm going to do it. I've heard the professor. I've heard this conversation with Bill Martinez. I'm going to quit putting it off. I'm going to get my hands on the memorization study Bible, and I'm going to start doing. What's your prescription?
Well, I would say go to wherever books are found, Amazon, wherever, and just put in the memorization study Bible. It's cheap. It's on sale for like under $15. Okay.
Right.
Get a copy and then pray about where should I start? Should I do the Sermon on the Mount? Okay. Should I do a part of the book of Revelation? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Should I do a part about how I'm redeemed by Christ from Ephesians? Pray about it. Pick a part. Stick with it. Do just a verse a week. It's nothing.
Professor Thomas Meyer has been our guest. His book, The Memorization Study Bible, it will be linked at our website as well at BillMartinezLive.com. Tom, thank you so much. God bless you.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to
use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. That's 800-301-1318.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news is President Trump has just confirmed to reporters outside the White House that he's nominating Bob Barr, who served as Attorney General under former President George H.W. Bush, to be Attorney General following the departure of Jeff Sessions. The President also confirming he'll nominate Heather Nauert to be United Nations Ambassador to succeed the retiring Nikki Haley. And the President also told reporters,
I have another one for tomorrow that I'm going to be announcing at the Army-Navy game to do with the Joint Chiefs of Staff and succession.
Former FBI Chief James Comey is behind closed doors at this hour with members of two House committees answering questions about the early days of the Russia investigation and how he handled the Hillary Clinton email investigation. And this is USA Radio News.
When pros go to the Home Depot, they want to get what they need quickly and get back to the job. That's why pros count on the Home Depot's free in-store pickup. Online orders, ready in as little as 2 hours to grab the moment they arrive. That saves time. Pro Extra members save even more with exclusive offers and benefits. Time-saving free in-store pickup, extra benefits, and exclusive offers for Pro Extra members. Only at the Home Depot. More saving. More doing.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. It is the season, the Christmas season. It's also the season that we see and hear a lot about angels. And this is why I've been looking forward to our next guest, Dr. Michael Heiser, who's going to be joining us. He's a scholar in the fields of biblical studies in the ancient Near East, scholar in residence at Faith Life Corporation, the maker of Logos Bible software, which I endorse and wholeheartedly believe. I got to tell you, Michael, I love the software. Years and years ago, I was looking for something, and a friend of mine at a Bible store says, hey, you've got to look into this. This is a powerful software program, you will love it. And I got to tell you, what has it been? I think it's been at least 10 years I've been attached to it. I so love what Faith Life has done with this software. And of course, they're just releasing the eighth, Logos 8 now, right?
Yeah, version 8.
What? How exciting. Well, I want to talk about your book, Angels, and I think that certainly, you know, we need to look at what the Bible really says about God's heavenly host. Lots of misunderstanding, lots of mystery about angels. Why is that?
Well, I think basically one of the problems is, you know, what we think we know about angels, we essentially get filtered to us through church tradition. And it might sound a little odd, and again, I'll admit that, I'll own it. But when I thought about this book, I thought, you know, wouldn't it be nice to have a book that sort of allows us to, you know, to know that everything we say about angels or members of the heavenly host, you can actually trace back somewhere to the biblical text.
Amen.
You know, you might think, well, doesn't everybody do that? And it's like, no, actually they don't. We have a number of things that sort of get handed to us, you know, by tradition that are hard to find and in some cases impossible to find in the biblical text.
Well, and as you say, especially this time of year, we get all this characterization of angels and they seem like, you know, rather small, diminutive, and and the way some of this tradition passes on, it really reduces the spiritual significance, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the way angels are depicted, if you encountered one, you'd want to pick it up and burp it.
Right.
You know, like it's a little baby or something.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's just kind of crazy. You know, part of the problem is terminology. What I do in the book in the first chapter is I start with the Old Testament. I go all the way historically on through the New Testament. But we have a problem with terms. You know, we don't realize that angel, for instance, the Hebrew word is malach, and the Greek word is angelos. That's a job description. It doesn't tell you what a thing is. It tells you what a thing does. They take messages.
Right.
And so what I try to do early in the book is say, look, we have a boatload of terminology here. And what we need to realize is that there are terms that describe the nature of a member of the heavenly host, terms like spirits. Okay, they're spirit beings,
right,
holy ones. And there are terms that describe status and hierarchy. Sons of God is actually one of those, because that's a term drawn from the royal court imagery of the ancient Near Eastern world. And then you get these terms that describe function. Angel is one of those. It's a job description, just like cherubim and seraphim.
Mm-hmm.
Those terms are drawn from Mesopotamia, specifically Babylon and Egypt, and they are throne guardians. They protect, in the case of the human world, they protect the presence of the king. In the case of God's world, the supernatural world, they protect his space from defilement. This is why when people are transported in visions or whatnot in the Bible into the throne room of God, they have to be purified.
Mm.
That's their job. So these are all jobs. And because cherubim and seraphim have wings, we assume that angels have wings, but no angel in the Bible is ever described as having wings. You think of the command in Hebrews 13:1, where the writer says, now look, you need to extend hospitality to strangers because, you know, you might be entertaining an angel unawares.
Yeah,
well,
right.
I would think if he's got wings sticking out of his back, he'd probably know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wouldn't be surprised.
Exactly.
But even the command assumes they look just like people, and that's the way they're portrayed in the Old Testament.
What about archangels? Is that the hierarchy?
Yep, that's a hierarchical term. It just means ruler of, you know, angels, ruler of other members of the heavenly host. We also get, it's akin to the old, that's a Greek, you know, New Testament term, but it's akin to the prince idea in Daniel 10, where we have princes, and then we have princes of princes.
Right.
So these are ranked terms.
So as you're, you know, delving into this and probably, you know, pulling the string, you're realizing, wow, what I thought I knew about angels, I've got to start all over, right?
Yeah, I had to go through that too.
Yeah. I mean, hearing you talk right now, I'm thinking, I'm going, whatever, I forget about what I thought I knew. Let's go back and really do a deep dive on this and
Let me give you another...
Okay,
another example here. Okay, like with the angels having wings thing, again, you have the absurdity of the command in Hebrews 13. Again, if they have wings sticking out of their back, you'd be no surprise.
Right.
But some people will go to Revelation 10:1 and say, it's a verse that describes an angel descending from heaven. And they seem like there's descending, they have wings, there's feathers. No, I mean, there's no wings and feathers mentioned. If you actually look up the verb for descend used in Revelation 10:1, guess where else it shows up? It shows up in 1 Thessalonians 4 for the Lord's descent at his second coming.
So
does Jesus grow wings in the
right.
Again, you have to start looking at the text and thinking a little more carefully about it. And there's a lot of fascinating stuff in the Bible about angels that never really filters down. You know, we sort of get these familiar scenes like the heavenly host at the birth of the baby Jesus. And you know, that's pretty much, you know, all we know. We know about Hebrews 1, that angels are ministering spirits sent to assist those who will inherit salvation. In other words, us believers.
Right.
But we don't really sort of cast a wider net. And so that's what I'm trying to do in the book.
Well, when you consider by title what their job is to be, also that they are supernatural spirit beings, they come with a power that is beyond our dimension, is it not?
Yeah, like I said, you wouldn't want to pick one up and burp.
No. If you, could even, if you can even begin to pick one up, right?
Yeah, really.
What do we know about size? I mean, I've heard descriptions as, you know, 7 foot, 10 foot, you know, beings here. What do we know about actual size?
Yeah, like in the Old Testament, again, they're normal. They look like normal people. In visions, like in the New Testament, Book of Revelation is the classic example. Then you get these angels that sort of stride continents. You know, you get these massive sort of images. And again, the imagery and the symbology is there for a specific reason. But when they interact with people, there's no indication that they're at all unusual in terms of appearance. Now, you think of Genesis 19 with Lot, you know, and what happens at Sodom.
Right.
It's not until they do something unusual that a normal person couldn't do that he gets a clue.
Right.
I mean, when they strike the city blind, it's like, okay.
Okay. You're showing off. You're doing that angel thing. You know.
So he has a little bit of a suspicion.
Right.
As to what's going on. But let me give you an example of something that people kind of miss. Because we tend to think that all the members of the heavenly host are angels. Again, my subtitle is deliberate, what the Bible really says about God's heavenly host. Because not every member of the heavenly host has this job.
Mm-hmm.
Again, angels is just a job description. So in Daniel 4, you get a watcher, again, someone who keeps watch. It's again, a sort of a job description. A watcher, a holy one, comes to Nebuchadnezzar, and again, to cut to the chase, he says, boy, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar, I sure hope you like eating grass because you're going to be eating it for a while. You're going to go insane for a little while. And he tells him why. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing is that the holy one says to him, around verse 21, he says, this is by decree of the watchers, plural. And then three verses later, he says, this is by decree of the Most High. So the fact that it's a decree from both the group as a collective and God tells you that members of the heavenly host do indeed participate in decision-making, you know, with God.
Mm-hmm.
We see this in 1 Kings 22. We see it also in Daniel 7 on a geopolitical level. When the empire's there, the beasts are getting judged. But we often don't think of members of the heavenly host doing anything other than singing songs and taking
exactly
messages.
Michael, we got to stop it. We got to stop it right there. We got to go to quick break. We've got more from Michael Heiser after this.
This message is sponsored by Ameriglide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call Ameriglide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple 2-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stairlift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$6,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez Live.
Back with the America, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Dr. Michael Heiser continues with us. We are talking about his new book about angels and the heavenly hosts, and breaking it down and getting some of this myth out of the way and really doing a deep dive. And hopefully you're being, I got to tell you, when I read about Michael's book, it caused me to have a bit of disturbance, I might say, in a positive way, to where I said, wait a minute, maybe my understanding of angels is too casual. I felt like maybe I had done a study about angels before, but really discovered as I was getting into this more and more, I was so grateful for Dr. Heiser and what he's bringing to us, because it will cause you to go deeper into understanding, you know, angels and what they're about, that it's about their, you know, their job description. Yes, they're spirit beings and they're supernatural, and they are, you know, ever watchful, you know, doing God's bidding and ensuring that God's bidding is being done, are they not?
Yeah, I mean, and people, when people hear that, they might sort of reflexively ask, well, you know, God's omnipotent. What does he need help for?
Hmm.
That's a good question. He doesn't need help. The key word there is need.
Right.
And he doesn't need supernatural help to run, you know, run things in the supernatural world any more than he needs you and me or
right.
the church. It's just that God chooses to have his family members, you know, his kids, his believers, in our realm and also in their realm, those members of the heavenly host that are loyal to him, he chooses to help have them participate, to be partners with him in getting done what he wants done. And in the book, I talk about how if you sort of get tuned to certain elements of what we call angelology in theological study, you begin to see that the way God relates to them and the way he thinks about them is analogous to, it's actually a template for the way believers are talked about.
Mm.
Okay, in the New Testament, I'll give you one observation. We have the term sons of God in the Old Testament that clearly, you know, in certain passages refers to supernatural beings. Again, it's a significant hierarchical term. Well, if you go to the New Testament, guess what? Sons of God shows up. Children of God shows up, but it's never applied to supernatural beings.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Then it's applied to human believers. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Is that intentional? Oh, yeah, it is. You know, and so I go into why there's this language overlap and how, again, one thing is a template for really sort of getting a focus, you know, God's eye view of us in different ways. You know, if we just pay attention to these sorts of shifts and techniques, you know, that the writers in the New Testament use, the way they repurpose Old Testament material.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as you say, the structure in heaven and the patterns that we even see in our natural life is that when we get other people involved and co-laboring with us, it seems to go, if I might say, more well, you know, it goes better. And and people are blessed on a broader perspective. So now we're co-laboring. If angels are co-laboring with God and we co-labor with God because we understand it's all about his will, we're better off for it, are we not?
Yeah, and in fact, I mean, if you think about Eden, you think about Genesis, and again, I go into this in the book, and in my earlier book, even in more detail, The Unseen Realm is my earlier book. Mm-hmm. But God originally wanted, he already had kids before he created humans. He had supernatural children. The sons of God in Job 38 are there before humans are. And so what God actually wants is he wants to have a new family, an embodied family on earth, and he wants these families to blend together. He comes to earth. Eden is where heaven meets earth. Mm. He's there, you know, where God is, his entourage is. And, you know, we know how it gets messed up, but that's the original intent. Humanity was created to be fit for sacred space, to be fit for the presence of God like they are, and to cooperate together, you know, in enjoying God's creation. Well, that's why the Bible ends the way it does. You know, Paul foreshadows this when he tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6, look, stop bickering among yourselves. Don't you know, 1 Corinthians 6:3, that you're going to judge angels? You could also translate it, rule over angels. What does that mean? It means that we are the ones who inherit the nations, okay, who were given over at Babel, given over to, you know, lesser divine beings as a punishment from God. That's Deuteronomy 32, 8, 9. Mm-hmm. We inherit that situation. That's why Jesus in Revelation 2, Revelation 3, says that believers will rule the nations with a rod of iron. That's a messianic psalm quoted about you.
Exactly. Right.
Revelation 3, I will grant the one that overcomes to sit with me on my throne. We, in effect, replace, you know, all of these supernatural children that have rebelled against God, and we outrank the mere messenger boys of the supernatural world. We are the sons of God. That's exactly what 1 John says in chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And then he adds in a parenthesis, and that's what we are. See, that language is intentional.
Is that awesome?
I mean,
that is just so incredible if you grab a hold of that to see what's going on. And, of course, we know a third of the angels were kicked out of heaven, and they're awaiting their final judgment. But meanwhile, here we are in anticipation of God's ultimate plan. Why would the Father not want to be able to live with the sons of man and enjoy his original purpose for us?
It even gets kind of crazier than that, because if you read Hebrews 1 and 2, and I have a whole section on this in the book, you get this question, can fallen angels be redeemed? Will God forgive them? You know, are they included in the plan of salvation? And the answer in Hebrews 1 and 2 is no. Mm-hmm. And the reason given is because Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, who became, you know, Jesus, God as man on earth, he became a man. He didn't become an angel. He became human. And so the idea of incarnation that we think about at Christmas, that is specifically linked to the salvation plan of God. It is for humanity. That's why you read Hebrews 1 through 2, to which of the angels did God do this? To which of the angels did God do that? Well, the answer is he didn't have angels in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And again, chapter 2 ends with this crescendo about Jesus becoming human and being our sibling, our brother. And he presents us in Hebrews 2:10 in the divine assembly, in the supernatural heavenly host. He presents us to God and God, you know, to us, because he is now one of us, but he's also Lord. You know, again, the more we're able to think about the supernatural sort of stuff, angels in particular here.
Right.
The better we are able to map the language over to why believers are talked about the way they are talked about.
Mm-hmm. And how hugely significant our humanity is in the heart and mind of God to send his only son, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, again we know this, but we know it in part.
Mm.
You know, we have fragments, and then sometimes these things are even filtered out, you know, because of tradition.
Yeah.
And so what I'm arguing for in the book is, look, it's not like you've missed the gospel until you read Mike's book. That's nonsense.
Right.
What you've missed is you've missed a lot of the nuancing. You either miss entirely or you underappreciate what's going on in the heavenly realm, the heavenly host. And again, how that helps us not only understand theologically a lot of biblical material, but also how it helps us understand how God looks at us as his children and his partners. He wants human, earthly children and partners just like he had in the supernatural world. And at some point, he's going to blend those families together.
Wow, what a day. I'll tell you, you know, and your word underestimate is so appropriate, Michael, because we do. With our own finite minds, we try to import and impose our worldview and our limited perspective over a supernatural and us who has an ultimate plan that is everything that our inner man, even down to the cellular structure of who we are, is crying out for. You know, it is that hidden compass that's leading us home away from this foreign land that we temporarily find ourselves in.
Yeah, man, that's well said. You know, it's that inner thing that's missing that we can't quite describe.
Yeah.
But I mean, Scripture fleshes that out for us, you know, in lots of ways. And again, this is just one more trajectory that I'm hoping we will not neglect.
What about guardian angels? We got a couple minutes left here.
Sure. I think guardian angels are, I think that's a biblical idea, but it depends in part on how you think about guardian. Matthew 18:10 is typically the passage people think of when Jesus is telling the disciples, hey, you know, let the little children come to me. He says, "For you know, don't despise them, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven."
Mm-hmm.
So we know it doesn't mean that bad things will never happen to children or us. Okay, everyone suffers. Everyone, you know, has something go wrong. Rather, what it means, it's really about watchfulness. In the book, I talk about how the guardian angel idea sort of is drawn from a whole host of ideas in the Old Testament. For instance, there's an idea of mediation or advocacy, that we are sort of represented to God by angels, at least in the Old Testament.
Right.
So one of Job's friends says to him, you know, while he's, you know, trying to commiserate with Job, he says, hey, to which of the holy ones are you going to appeal your case? And there's this notion that angels watch us and intercede for us, you know, with God. They give us messages, but there are also scenes where they explain what's going on to people. They report to God. And again, the point is not that God has a bad memory. What we're supposed to take from this kind of metaphorical language is that God doesn't miss anything.
Right. Exactly.
He's,
well, Michael,
always got
we got to leave it there. I look forward to having you back. We've got to continue this conversation and insight into angels. Dr. Michael Heiser has been our guest on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then.